Illustrating our relationship with the Lord, who is one we can trust, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
Your Heavenly Father is the engineer on the train of life. And if I really trust Him, I've put my reliance, believe that He can do it better than I can do it, take my hand off the steering wheel, back away, let God drive. God sometimes has to move me into the passenger seat, and then I'm still reaching over and helping Him drive. And He says, can you get in the trunk, please? You know. But if I will let Him really drive, that's faith.
Zion, I build with hands, and in this place gotta dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son. Selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
All I've seen, said the poet, teaches me to trust the Lord who I have not seen. Someone else said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the one that follows. The reason for the confidence is the basis of faith, and that's the Lord, our Father in heaven. Faith, not faith in faith or blind faith, but faith in the Lord is our focus today on Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. Let's find our place in Hebrews 11, and we'll get started.
Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds, the cosmos, were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous right before God. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks to us today. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, quote, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, chapter 11 is about faith. Have a little faith. I was reading this week about a businessman who had run into problems in his business, 2008. It looked like he was going to lose everything. And almost at the last, in desperation, he went to talk to his pastor. The pastor said, after he prayed with him, he said, I want you to go home and get a beach chair, go down to the beach, take your Bible, sit there on the beach and read your Bible a little bit, pray, ask God to show you something, and then leave your Bible open on your lap and let the wind blow the pages to the right page, and then put your finger on whatever page it lands on, and then notice what it says. And so the pastor didn't see him for a year. A year later, the guy shows up. And he's in a $5,000 suit, and his wife is with him. She's got a mink stole on. The kids are dressed to the nines. He has a new Rolls Royce out in the parking lot, and he hands the pastor a big donation for the church and all the help that he's been. And the pastor said, so what happened? He said, well, I just did what you told me. You went to the beach? Yeah. You took a chair? Yeah, I did. You opened it. The wind blew it. And then you put your finger on it? Yeah, I did all those things. And then what happened? What did it say? It said chapter 11. Bankruptcy, okay. Now, I've been waiting for a long time to use this joke because, you know, we're in Hebrews 11, and so often my bad jokes don't fit what we're talking about, so it was a little bit of a shoehorn, but we got it in there. Okay, faith. Faith is the subject of this whole chapter. Hebrews has been called the Faith's Hall of Fame. We know that Pro Football's Hall of Fame is Canton, Ohio. Cooperstown, New York holds the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course, Cleveland, Ohio, Cowboy Hall of Fame, Oklahoma City. The heroes of faith are enshrined here in this chapter. It is a long list of men and women who have surrendered their lives to God and then experienced a life of faith, walking with God. And the impact that their testimony, their witness, what people saw was that other people were affected, that they were the real deal, authentic. They were doing what they were saying and vice versa. So God uses this to speak. Now you'll remember that this book was written in the first century to a group of Jews that had become Christians, and now there's pressure on them and they're looking at backing away from the faith because Rome was persecuting Christians and they would just become Jews again. And he's been saying, no, don't do it. The new covenant under Jesus Christ is much better than. And he had a long list of better than angels, better than the first covenant, better than the high priest, better than the temple, etc. Now he changes his approach, the author. Actually, the Holy Spirit, but also the human author who was listening. He goes back now and argues that the Old Testament believers all got to heaven the same way that the New Covenant is worded. That Abraham believed God. He's going to use Abraham, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, rightness before God. I mean, in this section, he's going to use the first two, Abel and Enoch. So the picture is, how do we understand the word faith? Now, we've lived in a time where faith has become almost a corporation. There's a movement the last 30 years or so called the faith movement that has redefined what faith is. This is the only place in Scripture that I know of and other experts that I've read that actually describes, defines what faith is. So it's very important in that sense. Now, let me give you the summary of it in a little short story, true story supposedly of an Amtrak train that was going across Colorado, headed to Denver in the fall, and it was raining, and it began to just open up, and as it does on the Great Plains sometimes, and pretty soon the fields were full of water, and it kept raining. They're going through this storm, and lightning's crashing and thunder, and everybody in the train is unnerved because the water's coming higher and higher, and in some of the creek beds, it's coming up over the rails, and they can see it as they look out the window, and it's still raining. But one of the passengers noticed a little girl, 8 or 9 years old, with her mother, and she seems to be perfectly content. And it helped calm him down, and when finally they got through it and stopped in Denver, as he was leaving, he leaned over to the mom. She said, you know, your daughter's amazingly calm. And he asked the little girl, why are you so calm through all that storm? She said, my daddy is the engineer. That's the answer to this whole chapter. That's a summary of it. Your heavenly father is the engineer on the train of life. And if I really trust him, I've put my reliance, believe that he can do it better than I can do it, take my hand off the steering wheel, back away, let God drive. God sometimes has to move me into the passenger seat, and then I'm still reaching over and helping him drive. And he says, can you get in the trunk, please? You know. But if I will let him really drive, it'll be like this little girl. That's faith. Okay, so here's the definition of faith in the first verse. These are six verses we're looking at. Faith is the common denominator for all of us. And he points to creation as a picture of God's power so that we can rely on him. Abel, Old Testament, starts in Genesis and works his way all the way through the Old Testament. Abel is the son of Adam and Eve. Enoch, a few years later, verse 5, and it's in Genesis 5. And then we must believe to please God. It is impossible to please God without believing him. So that's kind of the summary. Let's jump in. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's not the best translation of that word. The evidence of things that aren't seen. Now, it's important that we get this first verse because everything else rolls off out of it. So, faith, that is faith in God. It's not faith in myself. It's not faith in faith. just believe, you know. All you need is love, the Beatles said. And then all of us found that that wasn't quite true. You got to eat too, right? And things like that. So we're speaking about faith in God. And we all live by faith in the general term. Every one of us, right now, all of you are exercising, me, I'm exercising faith. Lots of illustrations of that. You ever ordered from a restaurant menu without checking the health code letter grade on the front door? Well, that's a great deal of faith. They're running a D, or worse, a D minus or an F. Have you ever gone to a doctor, have him write a prescription that, of course, you can't read, and they have this magic code that doctors and pharmacists read? So you go to the pharmacist and you give him your prescription, and he acts like he can read it, and he puts pills in the container and gives them to you, and you pop them right in your mouth. And you've never met the guy before, and you don't even know the doctor's first name. That's faith. That's a lot of faith. All kinds of faith being exercised in our lives. All of you practice faith if you came here by a car. Some of you more than others, I understand. Depends on the age of your car, how much faith you have to exercise, I guess. But you push on the brake, and you hope all the hydraulic fluid leaves the master cylinder and goes where it's supposed to, all four wheels. You ever mail the letter, especially this time of year? That takes great faith to expect it to get to where it's going.
You're listening to Pastor Ed Ray, illustrating how we all live by faith. We continue with part two of today's lesson on faith here on Grow in Grace from Hebrews chapter 11. Picking up in verse 1, underscoring the need to put our faith in what's worthy of our trust, here's Pastor Ed.
Every day we place faith in things, a lot of them mechanical. We're exercising faith here. The engineer that designed this roof and estimated how much weight it could hold. You know, those air conditioning units are heavy. You feeling safe? I'm teasing you, okay? But we exercise faith by coming in any building, anywhere. We exercise faith by sitting down. Look at you. Look at all the great faith in this room. You're all putting your whole weight on these theater-style chairs. So, faith is something that we do exercise, but this specific kind of faith is in God and what He has said. Lewis Carroll wrote Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland. She was talking to the Queen, and the Queen said, "Let's consider your age to begin with. How old are you?" And Alice said, "I'm 7 and a half exactly." And the Queen said, "Well, you needn't say exactly. I can believe it without that. Now, let me give you something more difficult to believe. I am 101 years old, 5 months, and 1 day." And Alice said, "I can't believe that." And the Queen looked at her and she said, "You can't? Try again." Taking a long, deep breath. "Close your eyes." Alice laughed. "It's no use trying. One can't believe in impossible things. Is that right?" "You haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "Try again." "Take a deeper breath and squeeze even your eyes tighter." Faith in God is not drawing a long breath and squeezing your eyes really hard together. It's something else. There is evidence, this verse is going to go on to say, the evidence of things not seen. But there is evidence that you can see, all kinds of evidence in the creation, the human body, moral conscience. God has given us all a degree, right and wrong, justice. These are things that are common to the 7 billion people on the planet. Recognize those things, at least in different levels of recognition, that it was by God or not. We have our own body crying out to us that you're unique. The more science delves into the human genetic code, to me, is the deeper and deeper proof of faith that God has done a truly astounding thing in the world. That you and I are the product of God putting together four little chemicals There's only four letters in the human genome, in the genetic code, the DNA of a plant out there, a leaf on a tree, a blade of grass, is alive. If it's a live thing on the planet, it has DNA the same code, four letters. It's a whole vocabulary. It's a whole language. You and I, most of us in this room, speak to varying degrees English, right? 26 letters, and you put the letters together to form words, and words to sentences, sentences to paragraph, paragraphs to books. You can say anything, right? Well, God said, I can do that in four letters. Every living thing that we know of, four little letters put together, nucleotides, we call them, the genetic code in a chromosome. That speaks of something much more powerful than we as scientists could produce. We can't produce life, no way, especially from dirt. So this God is not explained with materialistic explanations that hold water. Paul's been talking about this over in the book of Acts to a group of philosophers on Mars Hill. And he said this in Acts 17 to them. From one human being, God created all races on earth and made them live throughout the whole earth. Verse 26 and 27 of Acts 17. God himself fixed beforehand the exact times and the limits of the places where they would live. He did this so that they would look for him. And perhaps find him as they felt about, literally says they groped about. Let God is actually not far from any one of them. In him we move and we breathe and we have our being. Paul speaking to the greatest minds of Greece on Mars Hill, the philosophers, the birthplace of human philosophy. He says, God's right here, right in front of you. Just look around. Look at your hand. Most amazing. Think about your ears. Your eyes can see. Your taste buds. You smell. We have an astounding body. And it's common to all of us. God built into us proofs that he's there and he's real. Faith is the substance. Hypostasis is the Greek word. Hupo means under. To stand under, stasis is to stand. It's really a foundation, that faith is the foundation of things hoped for. And we've talked about the word hope before. It means something that you expect to happen. You anticipate it, and it's an expectation of yours. It's not like the word hope we use in the English language. The biblical word means assurance. You are positive that these things are good and they're coming. So faith is the foundation. Faith makes things that God says are coming, gives us the strength to trust they will. Faith is not in imaginary things. It's not, if I just squeeze my eyes and make a fist, take a deep breath, a unicorn will appear. No, 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 no. You can do that all day long and there's no unicorn. Sorry. Those of you who are looking forward to it. It is, of course, faith in the living God. So if you're looking at NIV, I know a lot of you use that translation. It says, faith is being sure, that's the whole part, of what we hope for. No, 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 no. Bad translation. Translator didn't get it in the NIV. It's not faith in faith. It's not belief in belief. It's very specific. It has an object, and the object is God, what he said. That's why we study the book. Things hoped for, things that we expect will come because God said they're coming. What? Resurrection body. What? Philippians 3:11. You get a new body. I get a new body. Praise God. This one's wearing out. It's coming apart. Gravity is doing its work on all of us right now. They're just pushing us down, that kind of thing. And we get a new one. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you get a body like his. It could pass through walls. That it could be here and then over there in an instant. That evidently he still liked to eat. So I'm really looking forward to the first couple of weeks of a new body. I'm just going to buzz around it and go fast, see how many things I can, you know, pass through walls and stuff and eat like maybe 10 or 20 gallons of Häagen-Dazs deep dark chocolate, just to test it, of course, you know. Resurrection body, new heaven and a new earth. That's what 2 Peter 3:13 says. This was gone. It's wearing out, running down. That someday, with a great noise, it will explode in fire. We won't be here. We'll see that in a couple more verses. We will be living in a heavenly country. A country, Hebrews 11:16. We will have eternal fullness, completeness, Romans 8:17 says. That everything God wanted you to be and do, you will become. Seeing him, you will be like him. You will be whole. Everything about you is made perfect. I love the one about the Quaker farmer who was talking to an atheist, and he was trying to talk the farmer out of believing in God. He said, "You ever seen God?" The farmer said, "No." "You ever felt God? Like with your hands?" "No." "You ever smelled God?" "No." "But you say that you have a God." And the old Quaker just stopped for a long 30-second gap. Finally, he said, "Hast thou ever seen thy brain? Hast thou ever felt thy brain? Hast thou ever smelt thy brain? Yet you say you have a brain." Faith is in things not seen. What's that mean? 1 Corinthians 2:9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." You can't even imagine it. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." That you know. What? No, I don't even believe in God. I'm here this morning just to hear you try and convince me about God. No, you know. Because God put in you eternity. What? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity in our heart. Every one of us has a concept of time that goes on without end. That you sense, you know in your heart of hearts, this is not all there is, 70 years, 80 years, maybe less of your life. And so you have to fight against that. I know because I did for 26 years. I fought against the belief that there was a God and that this was all there is. And if you just die, it all just ends. But I knew. I hated it, but I knew it. That there was more than this. That's eternity. God put it in you so you would grope. That's what Paul said. They were groping around trying to find God. Why? Because he put that inside all of us. We know. There's more. Jesus Christ did it for you. A couple of quotes. C.S. Lewis said, "Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods." It doesn't matter what a bad attitude you have. You can still believe that Jesus is going to fix all this in your life.
Faith in the Lord, no matter what you're facing, is faith that's well-placed. Thanks for being with us for Grow in Grace. We're studying Hebrews with Pastor Ed Ray. Now, if you joined us late or you just want to hear this again, go online to thepackinghouse.org. We archive our programs there for you so you can listen anytime you'd like. Or call and ask for a CD copy at 844-77-GRACE. Now, you know, it takes a team to bring you Grow in Grace, and we look to our listeners to help make this all possible. We have an exciting resource to tell you about. It's a book titled Eternity in Their Hearts by Don Richardson. In this excellent book, Richardson shows how God has prepared the way for the gospel by setting eternity in the hearts of men and women throughout the ages. We'll send you this special offer with our thanks when you support Grow in Grace today with a gift of any amount. And as you give, you'll be helping many others around the country and around the world to grow in grace as well. Just give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. Now, even if you're not in a position to be able to give, we still want to hear from you. Your email would be a great encouragement to Pastor Ed. This lets us know where Grow in Grace is having an impact by God's grace. Our email address is packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. Then join us for the next Grow in Grace as our study of Hebrews continues with Pastor Ed Ray. This program is brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands, California.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love and harmony. I said let this world know me by your